Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the April 20th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's begin Tuesday's show with a Sunny Side of Sports salute for Catherine Nanzeri, who is training for the Tokyo Olympics, ready to make history for Team Uganda in Japan. Catherine will be Uganda's first female boxer at the Olympics. She says she wants to win a medal to inspire other women to participate in the male-dominated sport. Magume Davis Rakawinge caught up with Catherine Nanzeri, and he tells us more from Kampala, Uganda. Sporty greetings, Magume.
Sporty greetings to you, Sunny. Ugandan female boxer Catherine Nanzeri spars with national female coach Shakila Mukungu at East Coast Boxing Gym in Nagulu, a Kampala suburb.
Okay. Nice. Move. Down. Down. Right. Up. Down. Hook. Fire. Uppercut. This side. Two. Up. That bow. Uppercut. Move. Now you're going to
the 21-year-old Nanzeri will be the first female boxer to represent Uganda at the world stage, the Olympics. Nanzeri qualified as the top fighter in the flyweight category from Africa with 200 points, having fought her way to the semifinals at the African qualifiers in Dakar, Senegal in 2020. The initial qualifiers in France were cancelled due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Nanzeri says it was not easy to join the game of boxing. Most at times, she had to juggle with household chores, school and work. But the most challenge was that her parents were not approval of her to enter the boxing ring.
My dad, when he knew that I was in boxing, he told me, how dare you join boxing? Because it's a male sport. Who's going to marry you? Because as you know, who's going to marry you? Your face, they're going to knock you out. You will lose your teeth. So I said, no, I can't. As you know, from the parents, if you have a daughter, you're looking to the introduction ceremonies, the wedding. So he wondered why I chose the game, because I was in school. He refused the game. I would go with a closet in the bag, and I trained from school without him noticing.
This whole changed when Nanzeri won a silver medal at her first time of asking.
But the moment I had my first tournament, it was the Intermediates 2018, he saw the clip. That's when he started getting interested. Yet I lost the game, but he told me, keep going, because I got a silver medal.
Shakila Mukungu, the Bombers' female coach, says she knew from the onset that Nanzeri would go places in boxing.
The moment a boxer shows you that he or she can spar with an opponent, that is already risking, okay? Because, you know, with girls, we fear, like, spoiling our faces. What? And, you know, each boxing club participated, looked for girls to train, and they competed among each other. And luckily enough, Nanzeri was among the best boxers. And luckily enough, her points put her where she is right now. She's going to represent our country, and she's going to be the first female to represent Uganda. And me personally, as Coach Shakira, as a female coach, I'm terribly excited.
18-year-old boxer Latifa Nakawesi says she's inspired by Nanzeri's qualification to the Olympics.
It just encourages me to push myself so hard, because I was being too behind. So now I need to go so hard. So right now she's better than me, but I'm also following up with her. Anytime I will catch up.
Mother of three, Juliet Nabunya, says she won't hesitate supporting her 15-year-old daughter to join the game of boxing.
Really, I didn't know whether we had a female boxer, and she's a young girl, lightweight. I think she's going to get a gold medal in Japan. Yeah, it's very okay if my girl decides to do that. Yeah, it's her will. Yeah, it's okay.
Ugandan sports reporter Regina Naluja says he's also excited Uganda will have a female boxer at this year's Olympics.
Being it's her first time to get on the world stage, and she's the first woman to qualify for Olympics from Uganda, she'll gain experience. Actually, she'll gain experience, but she'll have to work hard. Though we know at Olympics, slots for women, in some ways, some countries don't have boxers in some ways. So I expect maybe she'll get a bye in one of the bouts, but if she doesn't, I know she has to work hard throughout. And I know she'll try her best.
Nanzi says she's up to the task.
Just my name being written in the Olympic list of fixture, it's already an inspiration to the young ones. Now me bringing that gold medal, it will be a very much inspiration and more support to the young ladies, and parents would see the benefits and the good things in boxing.
Attack. Attack again. Down. Nice.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinjini, Kampala, Uganda.
My name is Nesli Catherine. I am the first female boxer from Uganda that will represent my country at the Olympics in Tokyo, Japan. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Thanks, Catherine, and good luck at the Tokyo Olympics. From Uganda, let's go to neighboring Kenya, which traditionally is one of the top performing African countries at the Olympics. In fact, Kenya was the top performing African team at the 2016 Rio Olympics in Brazil. The Kenyans won 6 gold, 6 silver, and 1 bronze for a total of 13 medals. Overall, since their first Olympic appearance at the 1956 Melbourne Games in Australia, the Kenyans have won a total of 103 Olympic medals, 96 in athletics, and 7 in boxing. Elias McCory is the managing editor, sports, at Nation Media Group in Nairobi, Kenya. Iron Mike Mbonye asked Elias, how would you rate Kenya's medal chances ahead of this year's Tokyo Olympics?
The medal chances for Kenya are as good as they've always been. The only problem has been, the late preparations brought about by the COVID-19, lockdown. As you might be aware, Kenyan sport has been suspended for the second time, having been suspended last year for a good about 9 months. So it's a big challenge for the athletes to get into top shape, to travel into competitions outside, which are again limited outside the country, and build up towards Tokyo. But individual training, especially in track and field, means that the usual suspects should be on course for podium places, especially in the middle and long distance races, from the 800 meters all the way to the marathon. And of course, we have the men's sevens rugby team, which has won a leg of the IRB series before, showing that it has potential to get a medal in a competition of this nature. They have been preparing well, training in a bubble. I've had an opportunity to train in Spain, play in Dubai. So yeah, they could be on knocking on the door for a possible medal. So I'd say, yeah, they're still good medal chances for Kenya, despite the difficult conditions that the teams find themselves in.
Kenya is known for her exploits in athletics. Do you see Team Kenya winning more medals in the event?
Yes, it's true that Kenya is known for its exploits in athletics, especially in the middle and long distance races. And again, in Tokyo, this will come again to play, because it's a very strong Kenyan team that is preparing all the way from the 800 meters to the marathon. We have, for example, the two world record holders in the marathon, Eliud Kipchoge in the men's division and Bridget Kosgei in the women's division. We also have the women's steeplechase world record holder, Beatrice Chepkoech, and indeed the defending champion, Conseslus Kipruto, in the men's steeplechase side. 1500 meters, we have a very, very good athlete, Timothy Cheruiyot, who has been on fire for the last two or three seasons. Definitely will be knocking on the door for a medal, a gold medal. And in the women's division, we also have Faith Chepngetich, who never disappoints on the grand stage. 800 meters, Ferguson Rotich, a bit of a problem in the women's side. So already you're looking at also considering the 5,000 meters for women, Helen Obiri, the world champion, who's also been performing very well. Already on the medal count from athletics alone, there are about five or six probable gold medals. So yes, Kenya should maintain the tradition, the rich tradition of doing well in track and field.
Are you satisfied with preparations by Team Kenya for the Tokyo Olympic Games?
The preparations for Kenya's Olympic Games participation in Tokyo have been troubled, so to speak, troubled because on two occasions we've had suspension of sports in Kenya. Last year, once the first COVID case was reported on March 19th, there was a suspension of sport for almost 9 months. You know, play resumed around October, and between then, again, we had the holiday break. Coming into the new year again, a few weeks ago, with the second wave of the coronavirus, sport was again suspended, which means athletes are training in isolation. There's been limited travel to compete abroad and, you know, compare with other nations. So the preparations have been badly affected by COVID-19, but again, it's a global phenomenon, it's a global problem. So other countries too are affected, which means that everybody should be on a similar footing in Tokyo. You know, haphazard preparations, disjointed preparations occasioned by COVID-19. So it will be interesting to see how, you know, the individual nations come out of this. The Kenyan Football League, for example, remains suspended. Athletics is suspended, so everybody training individually. Not the best way to build up to an Olympic Games, but individual training is something you can bank on. You just saw over the weekend Eliud Kipchoge running 2:04:30 to win the NN Mission Marathon in Enschede in the Netherlands. That shows he's in very good shape to travel to Tokyo to defend his title in the marathon in Sapporo on September 9th. So despite the hiccups in the preparation, the individual athletes know what they have in ahead of them. They know what they need to do to get the medals, and they know how to overcome these challenges. So for individual sport, I must say, despite the challenges, we are not too worried because the coaches, managers, and the federations have you know, come up with a recipe that will deliver in Tokyo. For the team sport, it's a bit of a challenge. But again, like I said, the men's rugby team, sevens rugby team, has been you know, sprucing up well, training in a bubble at the Moi International Sports Center in Nairobi. They travel to Dubai for a tournament. They were in Spain for a training stint. I think they're conditioned well, and they should be among the top bets for at least a bronze medal or to get onto the podium in the sevens rugby tournament in Tokyo.
That's Elias McCoury, the managing editor, sports at Nation Media Group in Kenya. And Elias spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Nairobi, Kenya.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sony Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Now let's go back to Uganda, where the military and the media have had poor relations in recent months after several journalists were beaten by army troops while trying to cover demonstrations. In hopes of improving matters, top army officers played two friendly football matches recently with members of the media. Halima Athmani reports from Kampala, Uganda.
Brigadier General C.K. Asimwe is on the pitch.
This was no ordinary match. Guns and boots filled the Philip Omondi football grounds. Most of the spectators were dressed in army fatigues. The no-nonsense military police, feared by both the public and media, cheered loudly as the match between military generals and the heads of several media outlets kicked off. The army generals, decked out in white and blue shirts, were led by the Chief of Defense Forces, General David Muhoozi. The media team was dressed in neon green and grey and led by owners of media houses, Nation Media, the New Vision Group, and several others. General Muhoozi says the march was meant to consolidate and strengthen the relationship with the media, given what he called the various highs and lows in their interactions.
No. We are not apologizing for anything. We are saying that we are partners. The other day you scratched me, I scratched you back, so... But bottom line, we are partners. We are in this together. We can't avoid each other. We are in each other's faces every day. So what better way to strengthen our partnership than through such light moments?
The first match between media managers and army generals ended 3-1 in favor of the media. A second match between field reporters and a team of captains, colonels and lieutenants ended with the media side winning again 3-0. The media may have been the better team Friday, but previously have been mercilessly beaten with batons and sticks by the same army. The last encounter was in February when several journalists were beaten as they covered a march by the National Unity Platform to deliver a petition to the UN Human Rights Office in Kampala. The party was protesting arrests, abuses and detention of their party members. Robert Sempala, the national coordinator of the Human Rights Network for Journalists, says Friday's marches were a good starting point for better relations.
They've been beating us and we are running away. They beat today, we run away again. And we are running to nowhere. So we thought we would have a convergence point to talk these issues out, to build trust, and that must be mutual trust, and to lay a foundation upon which we can relate.
Photojournalist Abubakar Woa was among those who walked out of a security press conference on December 28th after the army declined to apologize for beatings of journalists. He spoke about the football match.
It's a step that we are taking. We are not saying that all is going to be well, but we are hopeful that after this, at least we'll have built some relationship. At least we'll have something in common that unites us.
It is yet to be seen if the cheers, handshakes and unity displayed on the football ground will translate into safe and non-violent days ahead, especially for the media, when the same boots hit the ground again. Halima Athmani for VA News, Kampala.
Take your pick. Watch on television, log on to the internet, or listen right here on the radio. Hello, I am Shaka Fali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America. Straight Talk Africa puts you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they talk about the most important social and political issues that affect you. Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
And to quote Shaka, from the deepest better part of the bottom of my heart, I want to give a sunny side of sports salute to Shaka Sali for a memorable career at the Voice of America. Shaka is planning to retire at the end of May. Fans, politicians, and top football officials are harshly criticizing a plan by 12 elite European clubs to form a breakaway Super League. The teams that announced the breakaway include 6 from the English Premier League, 3 from Spain, and 3 from Italy. Speaking Tuesday, UEFA President Alexander Seferin directed his comments to the owners of the six breakaway Premier League teams.
I would like to address the owners of some English clubs. Gentlemen, you made a huge mistake. Some will say it is greed. Others, disdain, arrogance, flippancy, or complete ignorance of England's football culture. But actually, it doesn't matter. What matters is that there is still time to change your mind. Everyone makes mistakes. English fans deserve to have you correct your mistake. They deserve respect. Fans have become customers, and competitions have become products. Pre-match, they no longer look at team lineups, but at betting odds and number of followers on Twitter. And after the final whistle, it is no longer the league tables they consult, but viewing figures and share prices. My friends, Champions League elimination for some is no longer a sporting failure. It's an industrial risk that some are no longer willing to take. The ultimate aim for some is no longer to decorate the club's trophy cabinet with silverware, but to fill the bank account with cash. Contempt for smaller clubs, for supporters respectful of tradition, and for all the institutions is replacing ethics. Selfishness is replacing solidarity.
That's Alexander Seferin, the president of the Union of European Football Associations, UEFA. Meanwhile, former Premier League stars Alan Shearer and Eric Cantona also spoke out against the breakaway Super League. First, we'll hear from Alan Shearer.
I was in shock and disbelief and disgust, really, when the news came out. And the Super League have chucked a grenade at the Premier League and chucked a grenade to everyone else. Well, chuck one back. Ban them. Ban them immediately if you can. And if they can, and I'm sure that they'll look at every possible legal angle and what pressure they're under in doing that. But if you can, do it. Absolutely.
Former Manchester United star Eric Cantona also criticized Super League organizers for not keeping football fans in mind before announcing a decision to form a rival to the UEFA Champions League.
I would like to say something about the European Super League. Since 1 year, we have seen games on TV with the best clubs in the world and the best players in the world. And it was so boring. And it's still so boring, because the fans are not there. The fans singing, jumping, supporting their teams. So the fans are the most important thing in football. So they have to be respected. Did these big clubs ask to their fans what they thought about this idea? No, unfortunately. And that's a shame.
That's former French football star Eric Cantona speaking out against plans for a new breakaway Super League in European club football.
Dear respected friends, sports greetings. This is Milutin Mitrović-Sredović, coach of Zambia national football team Chipolo Polo and former national coach of Uganda Cranes. You're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT. Soon.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. Douglas Mpuga joins us now with a package of sports news. And Douglas says his starting line is Diamond League Athletics.
The first Diamond League fixture of the season on May 23rd has been moved from Rabat, Morocco because of coronavirus restrictions. Now the meet, which is an important build-up event of the rearranged Tokyo Olympics, will be held in Gateshead, UK. The Diamond League meeting in Rome, initially scheduled for June 4th, will now be held on June 10th in Florence, while Oslo's Bislett Games has moved back from June 10th to July 1st. The Olympics are due to begin on July 23rd, with the athletics program starting on July 30th. Meanwhile, Caster Semenya is reported to have said that she will not attempt to qualify for the 200 meters at the Tokyo Olympics. She defended her national 5,000 meters title in South Africa. The 30-year-old won the title in 15 minutes, 52.28 seconds. That was 42.48 seconds outside the Olympic qualifying time. Semenya will be unable to defend her 800 meters title after controversial World Athletics rule change around testosterone levels in female runners. The qualifying deadline for Tokyo Olympics is June 29th. She's a two-time Olympic champion in the 800 meters and won the 1500 meters at the Commonwealth Games in 2018. And Zambia's women football team were placed in pot 4 of the classification for the Tokyo Olympics Women's Football Tournament group phase. The draw was announced on Friday in Zurich, Switzerland. The Copa Queens and 11 other teams were divided into four pots based on the latest FIFA Women's World Rankings, with two teams from this month's playoffs joining the 10 already qualified teams. Zambia, the only African representative at the Tokyo Olympics, heads into the tournament as the lowest-ranked team among the 12 sides in the competition. Others are Japan, United States of America, Netherlands, Sweden, Great Britain, Brazil, Canada, Australia, China, New Zealand, and Chile. And the match day 5 of the 2020-2021 CAF Confederation Cup will be played across the continent on April 21st. In Group A, Ahele Benghazi of Libya will take on Enyimba of Nigeria in Benin. Orlando Pirates of South Africa will play ES Tief of Algeria in Johannesburg. In Group B, NAPSA Stars of Zambia play RS Bakene of Morocco in Lusaka, while Cotton Sport of Cameroon play Kabaele of Algeria in Garoua. In Group C, Jaraf of Senegal take on Etoile du Sahel of Tunisia, while Salitas of Burkina Faso play CS Sfaxien of Tunisia in Porto Novo. And in Group D, Namungo of Tanzania host Raja of Morocco in Dar es Salaam, while Inkana of Zambia host Pyramids of Egypt.
Thanks, Douglas. That's Douglas Mpuga.
Sporty greetings. This is Ike Diagu, captain of the Nigerian men's national basketball team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Ike. Highlighting Monday's National Basketball Association action, the Knights' top scorer with 49 points was two-time league most valuable player Stephen Curry of the Golden State Warriors. Curry was once again firing from long range to lead the Warriors to a big road victory against the Philadelphia 76ers. The AP's Dave Ferry reports.
Stephen Curry nailed 10 three-pointers and scored 49 points to extend his sizzling stretch, leading the Warriors to a 107-96 victory at Philadelphia. His three that tied the game at 86 all gave him 11 straight games with at least 30 points, topping Kobe Bryant for the most by any player 33 or older.
I think for the first time in that third quarter, I started to press a little bit down the stretch, and they started to pick up the intensity on the ball and rushed a couple shots. But for the most part, I've just settled in to just having fun.
Joel Embiid scored 28 for the 76ers, who now lead the Eastern Conference by one game over the idle Brooklyn Nets. I'm Dave Ferry.
wraps up the April 20th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.